Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara. Had a number of very fine, devoted Hindu pilgrims visit us the last few days and been talking to them, and talked to one of them who comes from a very traditional Saivite family. His father was very strict Saivasiddhantan from Jaffna, who moved to Malaysia and Australia and focused on the worship of Murugan. And focused his children on it too, very exclusively like an Ishta Devata, focusing on Murugan. And so this man was talking to me and asking about the difference between Murugan and Shiva worship and Saivites worshipping Murugan so exclusively, and how common that is in Malaysia, where he spent many years. So I was thinking about that. And what is the essential difference between the worship of Murugan and the worship of Shiva? So the worship of Murugan, of course, is very important in our tradition, and it's one of the factors that distinguishes the South Indian Saivasiddhanta form of Saivism, is that it's not just Shiva. Murugan is there too, and he's very important. But of course, Shiva is the supreme being. So I came up with one major difference in that the worship of all deities in our tradition, we just have Ganesha and Murugan, who aren't Shiva, is always dualistic. It's, there's the deity, here I am, I'm worshiping, I'm getting blessed. It's good, and it's something we all need to master, but our tradition isn't dualism or isn't theism, it's monistic theism. So there's a monistic side there that's missing when it comes to the worship of Murugan, which is not missing in the worship of Shiva. In other words, we start worshiping Shiva as we worship any deity, and there's a dualism, there's a separation. We are there beseeching the deity to bless us. But when we get to a certain point, when those blessings get intense enough, we cross over the line into monism. So we're not getting blessed, we are Shiva, who is blessing. So that only happens with the worship of Shiva. The Shiva worship leads you from separation into unity, from dualism into monism. So therefore, in Saivasiddhanta particularly, we need to worship Shiva. It only works. Saivasiddhanta only works when the focus is on Shiva. So some examples of that are the padas and the margas, how they're described. Of course, we all know them by heart. And the charya pada, or the dasa marga, we're quite a distance from Shiva. Shiva is like the master and we're the servant. So we're just getting to know him. We don't feel very close in that relationship. When we go deeper, kriyapada, temple worship, puja, we're closer. We're in the Sakka Marga, the Satputra Marga. As a son is to a father. So we're a lot closer, and the relationship between a son and a father is a lot closer than a servant and a master. So we've come that much closer to Shiva in understanding and feeling and loving him. Next is yoga. Yogapada is the Sakka Marga, where we're friends. The idea of being friends may seem strange. You know, it seems a little too informal to consider God a friend. But certainly it's in many of the scriptures, Tamil traditional scriptures, that kind of approach. And Gurudeva himself would often joke about the deities and can talk about them as his best friends. So it's quite well established in the tradition, and it shows a closeness, a real closeness. If someone's a friend, you're very close to them. You share a lot. They're much closer to you than other people. And, of course, the Yanapada or the Sanmarga are identical. We are Shiva. That's our monism, is in the Yanapada, Sanmarga. So there's no difference between us and Shiva in that stage of Shiva worship. It's a beautiful verse. I was hoping someone who can, Tondanada can't see in the dark. Someone else who can read Tamil in the dark can read this verse. Any volunteers? What are the Tapadis or, I mean, Sophies or, can you read it? Does he need glasses to read? This one there. Okay. There, that explained it. So it's a famous verse. We've used it often. It's in Dancing with Shiva. It talks about each of the padas and what we experience in them. And the language is so beautiful. It just, the English doesn't catch it, but to go along with what we've been talking about, I'm going to explain the verse from the end of the verse to the beginning, because the verse starts with yana, then yoga, then kriya, then charya. But we're talking charya, then kriya, then yoga, then yana. So it fits in better when we explain it backwards. So expressing adoration is charya. Okay. Attending a puja, expressing adoration is charya. Giving life by invocation is external worship of kriya. So this means actually doing the puja. It's like invocation. You're invoking the presence of the deity in the murti. So that's giving life. It's using the word life as something you give to the murti. Beholding the light of life is great yoga worship. So we're seeing the inner light, just like we were talking about in our Shum meditation. Ifche, we call it in the Shum language, seeing the light at top of the head. And it was interesting that Tondanada translated it as Oli. So this is using the same word, except has a K in front of it. It's Uyakoli. So the light of life is what we behold. Being the life of life is splendorous jnana worship. And that is Uyakuyir, the life of life. God Shiva is the life of your life, Gurudeva's phrase. So there's a word in Tamil, Uyakuyir, which is God as the life of your life. Separate word with that one meaning. So this, of course, is talking about monism. We're not beholding something. We're not seeing something that's separate from us. Beholding the light, it's separate from us, right? We're seeing it. We are the awareness seeing the light. We're beholding the light. But here, being the life of life is splendorous jnana worship. So we're not separate from it anymore. We're just being Shiva as the life of life. So it's a very beautiful verse which shows the whole idea of how our consciousness changes, how our relationship to Shiva changes as we progress through Charya, Kriya, Yoga, and Jnana, just in this one verse. And it's very beautiful poetry as well.